Hallelujah. You know, when you taste and you drink, you'll say things and do things that you probably never would do before. You know, we've done that. We know people do that in the natural. Well, you taste and you drink and you feed on Him, you'll step out and do things in the Spirit you've never done before. You'll step out and do things in faith that you've never done before. Hallelujah. And you know what? It's not you. It's the Christ who lives in you. It's no different than what Jesus said. He said, it's not me. He said, it's the Father in me that's doing all this. That's a good place. That's a good place. It relieves all the stress. Takes all the pressure off. And literally we enter into rest. Hallelujah. You know, there's rest here right now. It showed up this morning when we showed up and we started to worship. I knew it. I could sense it. Because it's not coincidence that we're here. And it's not coincidence that people are watching us online. I truly believe as a child of God that our steps, and I include myself in this, my steps are ordered by the Lord. I have an unction from the Holy One. He lives on the inside of me. And even the simplest, what you would call the minute promptings, just witness. It can be desire, be want to. It comes from Him. Because when you delight yourself in Him, He gives you those things. He puts those things on the side of you. He's never wanted us to do this on our own. And we're so blessed this morning to be here. And we're so blessed to have John and Eileen with us this morning. 15 straight years. We're 15 in a row and counting, praise God. What a blessing. God put us together back in Birmingham, like He put a lot of us together in Birmingham and even here back even before we went to Birmingham. And it's a blessing to have y'all. And I want to just say this, guys. Hey, we're just family here, so we appreciate everybody, our church family that's watching. We love you, our friends, those who may watch us now that we don't know. But, you know, we know each other in the Spirit. Matter of fact, we really don't want to know each other in the flesh too much. That's what the Scripture says. We'd rather know each other in the Spirit. So we're all here today, and we're going to transition now, but we're not unhooking. We're still in worship and adoration. But it's just such a wonderful thing to be here, and some good things are continuing to happen here. Amen. Y'all can be seated. Thank you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hey there, Kaylee. I'm going to let you carry this to your dad, okay? Hallelujah. Everybody good? Listen, we're in no hurry. Y'all don't be in a hurry online either. You know, we get to come here once a week on Sunday. We don't have Sunday evening services unless sometimes we have special meetings, but this is our time together. Glory to God. It's our time to be here. And we want everything that He has for us today. I'm talking about this service has purpose. It's already had purpose. There's things already flowing and ministering. Glory to God. And we can expect, you know, there's been things spoken over this church that even when people come through the doors, just when they come through and they sit down, they can be healed without anybody laying hands on them, without anybody praying for them. Can He do that? I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. Can the Holy Spirit, does He have that ability? Yes, yes. I'm telling you, all we have to do as people is just hook up with that as the people of God, as the church of God, is just hook up with that. Amen? Well, at this time, listen, we want to go ahead and receive an offering for Brother John, Miss Eileen, their ministry. And also, you have on the envelopes, if you need an envelope, just raise your hand, get one. They have on the envelopes, you'll see, for your regular giving, and there's also listed there for guest speaker. And you can just put that there. And we can do all this in one deal. Amen. So we can give Brother John and Miss Eileen the time that they need and won't have to come back and do and receive a love gift for them. We just quit, do it right now. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I was reading something this morning. What a blessing. But what it said was, Paul was talking to the church, and those of Macedonia and them had really received offerings for the poor saints. He said the poor saints at Jerusalem, and they had sowed into their lives. And, of course, we know that the church at Jerusalem, you know, James was there as a pastor, and they were the Jewish people who'd been converted and believed on Jesus. And he said this, he said, it's our duty. He said, if we get to partake of their spiritual things and the covenant that God had with them, he said, if we get to partake of that, he said, it's our duty. He used the word duty to minister to them carnal things or natural things. He said the same thing to the church at Corinth. He said, it's a great thing with the Lord. If we receive spiritual things, it's a great thing. It's not just a thing with the Lord. It's a great thing with him that we minister our carnal things, our natural things. He also wrote to the church at Galatia and said, he that communicates and teaches us to us as believers and ministers to us, and as they go and minister to others, he said, we're to minister to them, do good to them, and communicate with them. That's what we're doing. We're simply in the flow of the head of the church and his plan and his desire. Listen, he has all of our interest at heart. He has their interest at heart. He has our interest at heart. He has everybody's interest at heart. He's not a respecter person. Amen. Everybody got what you need? Praise the Lord. Amen. And I'll say this. We as a church family, we always give people opportunity to give. You know, when we have services, even at a special moment like this, when any ministers come into us, but we prepare beforehand too. We don't just wait till the last minute. Glory to God. You know, Paul told the church, he said that, you know, you need to prepare. You know, and not just a one-day deal. And I like that. I just take, as I did a teaching weeks ago, follow Paul, you know. That's what he said. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. He said, you have me as an example. He said, you have 10,000 instructors. You don't have a lot of fathers. Follow me. So, because he really, you think about fathers in the faith, he really is a father in the faith to all of us. He said, the whole world is going to be judged by my gospel and Jesus Christ. Me and Brother John was talking about this. I've never stood up in front of a camera or anywhere else in front of people and said, listen, you're going to be judged by my gospel and Jesus too, but you're going to be judged by what I preach. Paul did. And he wasn't trying to take away anything from the head of the church. Oh, glory to God. You know, there's some stuff that there's more. Amen. Everybody good? Father, thank you so much for this time together. We honor you and our giving. We thank you once again for the ministry gifts here today. Brother John and Miss Eileen, thank you for the gifts that they are to the body of Christ, that which you've ordained and purposed for their lives, the ministry that they have, that you've given them. We honor that today. We honor you first and foremost, but we honor them as well. We thank you for the grace upon all of this. And we receive it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Y'all can receive the offering. So, Brother John, take liberty. Hallelujah. Miss Eileen, I'm going to turn this back over.
Praise the Lord. Ooh, that's working good. Hallelujah. Well, it's so good to be here. And I just want to say, just adding to what Pastor said about the praise and worship, Eileen and I got here about 10 o'clock this morning. I'm telling you, church had already started. I mean, we came in and sat down there and just wept. I mean, the Spirit of God was so strong in here this morning. Just, ooh, it feels so good. Because I tell you, it's not like that everywhere we go. Not like that everywhere we go. And I tell you, what we see that makes it so good, and I just want you to all understand and appreciate what you have here. And I think you do, but I just want to add to it. But I see you have a pastor, like he said, we're in no hurry. And you got a praise and worship leader who's led by the Spirit. And it puts together what God wants in a church meeting. You know, it's not, well, let's look at a watch, 7 minutes for music. Let's have 3 minutes for announcements and be done by, you know. No, it's not like that here. Hallelujah. And they're not all that way. I'm just exaggerating a little bit. But I'm telling you, this is a good place to be. Alabama, home sweet Alabama. When we are, all the time we come across from Mississippi and we see that sign, we almost shout when we see that sign. Sweet home Alabama. Because we like Alabama. Amen. Alabama has been good to us. And we just have so many friends here. We were telling Pastor last night, we moved to a little town up in Nebraska. 1,000 people in the whole town. And most of our family, our children, most of our children, grandchildren, well, a lot of the grandchildren growed up and gone now. There are some of them in college and nursing school and different things. But we know more people right here in Jasper than we know in that little town of 1,000 people. Wow. Because this is what we do. We do ministry and we travel, and our friends are our friends in the Spirit, as Pastor was sharing. Our friends are in the Spirit. And we have to go where those places are at. Yes. Amen. You know, we can't, we got a lot of corn up there and a lot of soybeans, a lot of cattle, a lot of hogs. Well, you can't fellowship with them. You got to come where the Spirit's at. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Well, we got several things. I think Eileen has some things she wants to share. Why don't you come on up here, Eileen? And oh, she's got her Bible. I better go sit down now. But anyhow, Eileen has been my helper and my guide, and along with the Holy Ghost. And we're just, we're blessed to be in ministry. We thank God for the call He put upon our life. And right now, as most ministries, a lot of ministries are pretty stagnant right now because of what's going on in the world. But you know what? God is on the throne, and this is no surprise to Him. And he's got everything supplying, everything we need, all that we need, everything that we need. And so it's an opportunity, this pandemic and all the things going on in our political world today, this is an opportunity for the church. It absolutely is an opportunity. Go ahead, Eileen.
Amen. What the devil meant for evil has turned out to be good.
Yes, amen.
I mean, just think of all the people that you're reaching online now. Yes. Amen? That's awesome. Amen. Well, I've been trying to clean out the garage. I mean, like, you know, 30 years worth of stuff. My. And I came across some things. One thing I discovered was a little pair of pink booties about this long that were all laced up. I thought, oh my goodness, I used to fit into those things. And then how many of us ever heard of bronzing baby shoes? Oh, I see people nodding. Ma'am? Gray-headed, that's it. For the rest of you who haven't a clue what that is, is I had this pair of shoes about this long, and they were kind of worn. I could tell they were hand-me-downs from my sister, and she had been crawling along too. And I came across these bronze shoes. And then I came across some clip-on dolls, you know, like they're a little cardboard doll about this long. Here's some people knows what I'm talking about. Okay. And they had little clothes that had little tabs. Thank you. So then you can just clip those over those cardboard dolls. And the fancy ones would stand up even. So you could, you know, go shopping with the girl, or she could go to wherever, church or, you know. And I thought, my goodness, what? Where has my life gone? I mean, I'm 73 now, and you think, whoa. You know, so there's a verse right above Psalms 91. We've been really speaking a lot from Psalms 91. And if you just look up there in the previous chapter, Psalms 90, verse 12. Psalms 90, verse 12. It says, "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." Amen. Teach us to number our days. Amen. You know, we don't need to take our days for granted or take them lightly. There's things God wants to do every day that we have. Amen. Maybe the neighbor next door is waiting for you to say something to them about the Lord, and they don't even know what they need. Or maybe you need to bring them some cookies. Whatever. Amen. So let's think about our destiny and who God would want you to share the love of Jesus with today. Amen.
Whoop. Am I on now? Yeah. Cleaning out the garage. Well, we made the biggest mistake. We went to the boxes that had all the memories in it. Those are the ones you don't want to do them first. You want to do the others first. Because then by the time you get to them, it's easier to throw things away. How many know what I'm talking about? Yeah. we had, let's see, how would I describe it? We had a few discussions in the garage about what to throw away and what to keep. And and I don't need to say any more, do I? Hallelujah. Well, we'll just give you a little bit of update of what we've been doing. We're still working with Native Americans. We're in contact with them by phone and some different things like that. But the reservations have been really hit hard. Some of the reservations, the ones in Nebraska, one up in South Dakota, they're completely closed. You can drive through on the main highways, but they actually have the side roads blocked so that people can't travel in there. And of course, a lot of it is because of their culture. They're very family oriented. They have a lot of families, multi generations living in one house, and they travel over to their friends or their neighbors and they visit for 2 or 3 days, and there's a reason for that. But anyhow, they just have got hit so hard that they've just closed it down, and so we're just kind of pretty much shut down right now. We have a seminar scheduled in Arizona in October, about the first part of October, which I talked to the pastor a few weeks ago, and he's the only church that's open right now. He's the only one that's open. So we're not sure what's going to happen there, but good possibility we can go there because it's not on the reservation. It's just off the edge, just off the edge of the reservation. So we may do that. But anyway, I want to show you a little DVD of what we've done in 2019. And then the last one I want you to see is in South Dakota. This is a new group that we met. We've known about them for a number of years, and we finally made contact with them, and we went up there in March. We went up there the first week in March, and we came home from there, and we were going to be home about a week, and then we were coming here to Jasper, and Pastor called us, and we had some other engagements here, and Pastor Roger and some other pastors got together, and they just thought it wouldn't be good for us to come at that time, and that was a wise, good decision, because I think the day after he called, and we were going to leave the next day, and Birmingham shut down and everything closed up, and so here we are in August, but it's fine, it's good. So anyhow, I want to show you this DVD, and you'll see some of the things. You'll see mostly it's Arizona and South Dakota and then Canada. We have a group in Canada that we've been up there quite a few times, and really a good group of people. Lots of times we see the Native Americans as kind of lazy and alcoholics and things like that, but you know, the people that we've been working with are not that type of people, and they have a heart for their own people. And so we just believe that there's going to be a revival amongst the Native Americans, because honestly and truly, the Native Americans were here first. And there's something about the land. They had this land first. And so we can't pay for what happened in the past. And that's what so many of them expect. But we can't pay for that. What they need is Jesus. And so we were just believing that these people that we're working with are going to begin to go out and do some other things. The group in Arizona, we've been going there the longest. And we've been doing like 3-day seminars usually, and do two or three hours each night. We usually pick one subject, sometimes we do two. And down in Arizona, then also in South Dakota, I did that too. We give them all of our notes when we're done. And the pastor, whoever, makes them up in nice little booklets and passes them out to them, because we want them to go out and teach others. And you know, finally, after about 3 years, 4 years maybe, in Arizona, that group had an opportunity to take over a church for a short period. The pastor was sick, and so some of the church members, not the pastor of the church in Winslow, but some of the people in the church went out and did the services in those weeks that they needed to fill the pulpit out there on the reservation. And some of the notes and the outlines that we gave them, they used some of those. So we were blessed by that. And so we're just seeing that's our purpose. That's what we feel called to do, is to teach others, make disciples, so that they can go out and in turn make more disciples. Amen. We want to run that, Sean? There you see a little bit of what we do.
I wanted to say one thing. Our pastor friends in Canada, their names are Alan and Carol O'Soup, like Campbell Soup.
Yeah.
And he's quite the jokester. And he said, he says stuff like, once I used to dance around the fire, but now the fire dances around inside of me.
Yeah.
And he'll say like, John, I'm going to town, so if you need anything, send up a smoke signal.
We've really had favor with the Native Americans. If you've been around them much, they don't trust white people much. We've been on the reservation out in western South Dakota. You may probably heard of the Wounded Knee and Pine Ridge and all that. That's a very, very difficult, bad, bad situation out there. And we've been out there, and we stop in a convenience store or something, and it's almost like we're invisible. I mean, it's like they don't see us. They don't know us. And they will take your money, but they don't help you much more than that. And so we've had a lot of favor with them, and it's just been really good. They treat us, we just treat them like normal people. Yeah, just treat them like normal people, and they accept you, and it's just been really good. And Pastor Allen up there, he's in Canada. He's a neat guy, and I don't know if you noticed, but he has us come. Last year, he had us come in March, and then he had us come in December. And I try to go in September or something like that, but he says, "Well, why don't you come in December?" You know, and we'll find out that nobody else will go up there in December, you know, except Eileen and I. And everybody thinks that Canada, once you get north of Minnesota, is just ice, but it's not. It can be very nice weather. We were up there one time in March, and it was thawing, and the snow was melting, and it was real nice. But when we went up there in December, it was cold. It was really cold. Now, and I learned something when I went to Canada this time. I had my pickup. We always take our four-wheel drive anymore because it's always winter when we go up there. And in America, you know, we have that windshield washer that's orange. Well, that only goes to about 25 or 30 below. And we were driving up there getting into Canada, and my windshield washer froze up. So I stopped at this place, and this light kept coming on saying the windshield washer stuff was froze up. And so I stopped at this place in little co-op in this little town, and I found out in Canada they make another kind. It's not orange, it's green. And that windshield washer goes down to 60 below. And so that's what they use in Canada. So I bought me a bottle of it, and when I go back this year, that's what's going in my truck before I leave. Amen. But anyhow, God is good, isn't he? Well, I want to just minister some things here, and hallelujah. It's so good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen? Amen. And, you know, yesterday we spent some time with Pastor Roger, Pastor Dana, and we always get a lot of talk-in time, and, you know, iron sharpens iron and that type of thing, And I'd got up yesterday morning, spent a lot of the morning putting a message together, and last night we went out for supper and had some chicken tenders at Guthrie's. We don't have Guthrie's up north, but I sure like their sauce. It's really good. And so we went out to Guthrie's, and so we get to talking. And so he says, what are you going to minister tomorrow? And that just hit me like, you know, you ever been hit with a horse rag? You know, boom. And I thought, I don't know. And so we were talking, and so he gave me some things, some ideas, and I went back to the motel last night, and I had some stuff already on this subject. I just added a bunch to it, so it won't be more than 2 hours. So everybody okay with that? Yeah, we're okay with that. Okay. The people online, maybe, are you okay with that too? They just shut me off if they get tired, but, you know, hallelujah. But anyhow, what I call this message, I call it, How to Have Victory in a Troubled World. How to have victory in a troubled world. I don't know about you folks, but we're all faith people. We all believe in God. We believe in faith. We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. We believe that He lives inside of us. We believe that He guides us. But I don't know about you, but there are times that when I kind of flip off and get off the track. How many know what I'm talking about? Anybody know? Let's see your hands. I want to make sure I'm talking to the right crowd. Just the other day, we were coming down through Kansas City, and when you come off of 435 and turn on to 70 East, they've redone that whole intersection, and they switched sides. You used to get off on the left side, which wasn't good because the traffic was always backed up, and they're making a better situation. But now they have it to go off on the right side instead of the left side. And so I was looking to go off on the left side. And we come around the corner and over the hill, and all of a sudden I see this brand new big intersection. They're still working on it. It's not completely done. And they got a few little signs up there. Interstate 70, right side. And I thought, well, that can't be right. That must be 70 West, because you always went by 70 West, and then you come to 70 East, you know. Well, I missed it, missed the corner. In Kansas City right there, there's about 5 lanes, you know, speed limit's about 65, and they're doing 85. And, you know, for just a moment there, I kind of lost it, you know. I go, I missed the corner! Anybody ever do that? But all I needed to say was, Lord, help me get turned around here. Get me on the right track, Lord. But for just a moment, Pastor knows what I'm talking about. Why is that? I think a lot of that is of what's going on in the world today. The news that we see, the political arena that's going on right now, this pandemic. I think a lot of these things have put our emotions and put us on edge. Because there's a time that wouldn't have bothered me. I know it wouldn't have. But it sure upset me the other day. And we didn't have to be here at a certain time. We came in early anyhow. It wasn't that we had to go down the road about 10 miles before we find a place to turn around. But there was no damage. And so I began to think about that, and I had been thinking about that and looking at myself and trying to make some corrections with myself and saying, Lord, where's my faith at? You know, oh, you have little faith, you know. And so I on this message, I'm going to talk about faith, about the language of faith. What does faith sound like? Doesn't sound like what I said in the car. That wasn't faith speaking. That was emotions. That was flesh speaking. And so I want to talk about this in 2 Corinthians 4:13. If you have your Bibles, just open up there because that's such a good verse. Such a good verse. 2 Corinthians 4:13. Everybody find it? We having the same spirit of faith according as it is written. And Paul is quoting something back from Psalms 116, where it was written there in 116. And so he says here, according to as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken, and we also believe, and therefore we speak. So we see there that what we believe is what we speak. And see, what I want to say is what happened to me there in Kansas City, that isn't what I believe, but my emotions took over. My emotions took over. And even though we can have problems with our emotions, in our spirit man, there is faith. Because we're born again. We're born again. The Spirit of God lives in us. Faith is part of the Spirit of God. And so faith lives in us, but for a moment there, I did not let faith have control. I let my emotions, I let my flesh have control. And so we have to believe, and then we have to speak it, and then lastly, we have to act upon it. We have to act upon our faith. I remember something that Brother Hagin used to say, and I've always remembered this. He says, faith is not in your head. He said, faith is in your heart. And he said, you can have doubt in your head and have faith in your heart. Because, see, lots of times things in the natural do not look good. This pandemic does not look good. Our political arena right now is a complete disaster. As far as democracy is concerned, it doesn't look good. But even though we doubt it in our minds, in our spirit, man, in our heart, we know that God has made everything to be good. He set up the governments for our protection, not for the financial gain of politicians. That isn't what it was set up for. He set up governments to protect people from the thieves and the liars and the murderers and those type of people. So government is good, and we have to remember that in our hearts, even though in our head it's very easy to doubt what's going on in our government today, whether it's really democracy or what is it. So when we begin to believe these things, we call it the language of faith. And when I talk about a language, I'm not talking about English, French, German, or something like that. I'm talking about the mannerism that we speak, the things that we say, the attitude that we speak. And so when we talk about the language of faith, we find that in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. You probably all know these, but you've got your Bibles, turn there, because it's really good. It's really good. Pastor Roger and I were talking about this last night. In verse number 8 it says, "And what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach." So it's believing in your heart and speaking with your mouth, that is the word of faith. And then it goes on in verse number 9, it says, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." So we see there that the correct way is we have to speak it. We have to believe it first, and then we speak it. We always speak what we believe. We always speak what we believe. You know, the words that come out just spontaneous. Like when I'm on the interstate there in Kansas City, and those words just came out, and it's like I'm thinking, after I get down the road a while, I'm thinking, why did I say that? That just came out spontaneous. See, that must have been what I believed, even though I know that's not true. Anybody ever been there? I'm just talking real life stuff here. I mean, we're all growing. From glory to glory, he's changing us. You know, none of us have arrived yet. And so we're still working on these things. So we have to confess. Verse number 9 says, confess and believe. And verse number 10 says, believe and confess. Well, what do we confess? We have to realize that Christ has redeemed us from all the curses. He's redeemed us from the curse of the law, which is sickness, poverty, and spiritual death. But I looked up a scripture this morning that I really like this one, 1 Corinthians 1:30, because this tells some things that God has made us, and it's really important, especially number one. It says, "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom." He's made unto us wisdom. So within the salvation, we actually have the wisdom of God. Amen? We have that wisdom. Sometimes I don't operate in that wisdom. Sometimes I don't take time to let that wisdom rise up in me and take over. But I have it. I have that wisdom. And so we have to confess those things. We have to believe those things, that he has set us free from all of those things. He's blessed us. He's healed us. He's delivered us. He has set us free. He has made us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and what's the last one? And redemption. He's made us all of those things through the new birth. Through the new birth, we've been made all of those things. And so we have to confess those things. How do we receive our full salvation? It's by believing and confessing. Because there's so much available through the salvation that God has given us. And I'll be the first to admit that I'm not receiving everything that God has for us. I don't know if anybody could ever receive everything he has. But there is so much that he has provided for us. And so we have to believe. We have to have that spirit of faith so that we can overcome in the world today. Amen. Regardless of how this election turns out, regardless of how long this pandemic lasts, we are still children of God, filled with the Holy Ghost, and we are overcomers because greater is he that lives in me than he that is in the world. That's the confession that we have to have, and we have to believe it and confess it. Hallelujah. To overcome in this situation, in this world today. I had the opportunity to go down to Omaha, I don't know, a couple of months ago, and Reverend Joe Morris was speaking down there. I know pastors had him here many times. That's the first time I ever had the opportunity to hear him in person. And when he began to share about what's going on in the world today, and he began to correlate it with the Bible and how close we are to the end times, I almost began to shake back there in my chair because I realized that, hey, it could happen today. It could happen tomorrow. Because everything is so positioned right now that in just one day, some event take place could set it up for the rapture. Amen. And so I began to think, what are we doing with, like Eileen was saying, what are we doing with our life? What are we doing? We have to talk faith. We have to have that spirit of faith so that we can be a help and a strength to others. There are so many people out there that have no idea where they're going, what they're doing. They're just lost without Jesus. And they're really in a turmoil. People are frightened, afraid because of all the things going on. But you know, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Wisdom. He's given us that wisdom. So we want to talk the spirit of faith. Well, what do? We have to choose what we want to speak. We have to know what to choose. So we find all of that in the scriptures. In Deuteronomy 30:19, it says, choose blessing or cursing. Choose life or death. We have to choose what we say. And see, the words that we speak have an effect on our whole life, everything. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. What we say has power. Matthew 12:37 says, by your words you are justified, and by your words you are condemned. Not by someone else's words, but by your own words. So important what we believe. So important what we say. And so we must choose to get in the Word of God and look and see what it says about us. Not what the world says, not what we feel like, not what we see, but what the Word says about us. That's the language of faith. That's the language of the spirit of faith. Not what we see, but what we know the Word says about us. We have to choose to say those right words. Then number two, I have the sound of faith. What does faith sound like? Faith that agrees with God is faith. Faith has to agree with God. There was a... I'm not talking about Sean. But there was a praise and worship leader that I worked with one time. And every time after I get done preaching, he'd come up and talk to me. And he'd always have something to say about what I'd preached, you know. And he'd say, "Well, now, Pastor John, I heard what you said, but that isn't what I've been taught. That isn't what I've always believed." And so we go to the Bible and look at it, and I say, "Well, what does the Bible say?" I'd get it right out, show it to him. "This is what I preached. Isn't that what I said?" "Well, yeah, that's what you said, but that isn't what I've been taught." See, he never received the blessings of God because he wouldn't believe the word. He would believe what he was taught more than what the word said. And I don't think he liked me anyhow, and so he wouldn't believe what I taught him anyhow. So sometimes I could be kind of hard on praise and worship leaders, but I've mellowed out a lot now. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. I shouldn't have said that. I should have kept quiet. Hallelujah. Okay. So we don't want to speak defeat. We don't want to speak sickness. We don't want to speak that we're broke, that things are not going well. We want to speak the victory. If you look at Philemon, let's see what it is. You're right before Hebrews here. Verse number 6, it says, "That the communication of thy faith," the communication of thy faith, or that could say the manifestation of thy faith, "may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus." That verse right there is so powerful when it comes to developing our faith and speaking the right thing, speaking every good thing that is in us. Every good thing that is in us. Oh, just God in us is a good thing. That's a good thing. God in us. Here a few, last week, one night, I was looking through my Roku and YouTube, and there were some old clips of T.L. Osborne. Remember him? Eileen had, I had a chance to meet him, and when we were in Thailand, he was doing a crusade, and we traveled clear across the country on a bus to spend a couple days over, and we actually got to sit down with him a couple times with some meals and stuff. Tremendous man of God. But I was watching him, and you know, if you look at him today, you think, man, he was sure old-fashioned. But I'm telling you, the words that he speaks, I mean, you listen to that man, he's kind of like a little rooster. He kind of walks around like this. He says, "God is in me. Wherever I go, God goes. Wherever I go, God is going to do something because he's in me." And when you listen to him and watch him, he believes what he's saying. He believes it. Because we saw him do it. We saw him do it. We saw people come out of wheelchairs. We saw all kinds of things. He believed it. And he said it. And it happened. But there was another thing we noticed about him. We heard him minister in the United States years ago, before we went to Thailand, before we ever met him. But when we went to Thailand and he saw the multitudes, you could hear it in his voice as he ministered the love of God for the people. I could hear it. I could sense it. But that spirit of faith that he had. We saw blind eyes healed. God, he doesn't do that for everybody. You know what? There was a Buddhist monk that had a crippled ankle or broken ankle, whatever it was. God healed that ankle on a Buddhist monk. because of the compassion and the love of God that was flowing through T.L. Osborne. And everywhere he went, he said, God is in me. Oh, I'm going to start confessing that. That's going to be my confession because it's true. And you can do that same thing. It doesn't have to be me. It doesn't have to be T.L. Osborne. It can be any believer. It's the sound of faith. It's the spirit of faith. It's speaking those things that are about you. Like Philemon verse number 6 says, the manifestation of your faith is by confessing everything good in you through Christ Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. That is so good. I might just camp on that for a while. That's so good. That is so. That was all free. I hadn't planned on saying some of that. Okay, let's. Well, maybe I'll just talk about it. We won't go there. Numbers chapter 13. This is a story of Joshua and Caleb, is who it's. It's about the spies who went into the land, but really the bottom line is about Caleb and Joshua. What's really neat about that story is they didn't agree with God. Joshua and Caleb did, but the other 10 didn't agree with God. God said, I give you the land, go in and possess it. That's all God said to Moses. But Moses told the men, he said, you go in and spy it out. See if the land is good. See if the walls are high around the city. See if there's many people living there. See if the food is good. Moses gave them more orders than what God said. And so they went in and they came back out. They'd gone 40 days. They came back and gave the report to Moses. They said, oh yeah, it's just like God said. Land flows with milk and honey. It's a beautiful place. We'd love to live there. But oh, you ought to see the giants that live in that land. And Caleb and Joshua, they jumped up and said, oh no, we're well able to take it. And the consensus was, they said, nevertheless. And they didn't go in. And it goes on to say that Caleb had another spirit. Caleb had and Joshua had another spirit. See, they didn't agree with God. And see, this is what's so important. I want you to get this. What is so important is the spies came back and they reported the truth. They reported what they saw, and in their natural minds, it was impossible for them to take that land. But they didn't agree with what God said, and so they lost it. They spent, for every day they were spying out the land, the 40 days they spied out the land, they spent 1 year for every day in the wilderness. They were in the wilderness 40 years. Is that what God wanted for them? No, no. They did it to themselves because they didn't agree with God. And we have to realize that God is not going to let you abort the plan just because you don't want to agree with him. It might be delayed. It might be changed a little bit. But we want to agree with God because we want God's will for our life. We want God's will for this church. We want God's will for the USA. We want God's will for the world. We want God's will for the body of Christ. And so we have to agree with God. That's how it works. They didn't agree with God. Hallelujah. Well, we're moving along here. Hallelujah. Everybody doing good? Okay. You know, here's something that Brother Hagin used to say too, and took me a while to catch on to this, but he said, the spirit of faith is not taught. He said, the spirit of faith is caught. Did you get that? We can teach faith, but the spirit of faith is caught. You catch it from others. Like when I was talking about T.L. Osborne, see, I caught something from him when I watched him and listened to him and saw him minister overseas, because, see, that was his calling. an evangelist to the world, to these third world countries. And I saw it. And every time you see something like you grab onto that and you're taught some things. See, this morning when we came in we came in and the praise and worship was going at 10 o'clock. I don't know what time they started. But we came in. We didn't get any farther than them two chairs there. We just sat down right there. I mean, because we've been around it enough to know when the Spirit is there. Nobody taught us that. We had to catch it. We had to learn it. So in order to have the spirit of faith, in order to catch that spirit, you have to be around people that have that spirit. Your pastor has that spirit. Hang around him, which I know you do, and you'll pick that up. It'll become part of you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We saw it in Hebrews chapter 11. There's so many people in that chapter, and all of them had caught that spirit of faith. They didn't have the Bible like we have today. Look at Abraham. He just went by what God said to him. The Bible says, and he believed God, and it was accounted unto him as righteousness, and then he confessed against all hope. He confessed and he believed that he could have a child, and he did. And so we have to believe God, believe what the Word says, and do those things. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Believing is of the heart. You can have doubt in your head, but you can have faith in your heart. Faith is of the Spirit. You know, faith is actually tangible. You can't feel it with your fingers, but you can see it when it's operating. You can see it when it's working. And it doesn't necessarily be something in the natural that you see, like some kind of a miraculous healing or something like that. But just, like I said, when I listened to T.L. Osborne, that faith that he has is tangible. I mean, I can see it with my spirit. That's how we pick it up, is in the spirit man. So we want to hang around people like that. I listened to that whole message that he had, and it was just, you know, just outstanding. He's just talking about the things that in Christ that's inside of him, and just talking about those things. And I mean, we have to be careful and not cut out some of these things that look old-fashioned. See, now there's a big, a lot of people talking now today about some of the things back in the 70s and 80s, they're not relevant anymore. You know, the faith message is not that important anymore. Well, I disagree with that, because the Bible says the just shall live by faith, says it many times. And so faith needs to be taught. Brother Hagin was given a mandate, go and teach my people faith. And we, as people that followed that ministry or went to that Bible school, that's our mandate, is to go and teach faith. Amen. Faith is not changed. Faith is not something that's outdated. Faith is now. Faith is now. And so we have to be sure that we continue to teach and believe and operate in faith. Because I watched T.L. Osborne, I mean, I kind of chuckled a little bit, because remember when they used to decorate the platforms? He had a big kind of a whole big rock. It was all out of stone in the back, and there were flowers everywhere. You know, artificial flowers just everywhere. You know, you remember those days, don't you? Well, you kind of chuckle a little bit, but when you listen to the words, hey, what he said applies to today. It applies to today. It wasn't for back then. It's for every generation. It's for every time. So the act of faith. So now I want to talk just real quickly about the act of faith. We have to believe it, we have to speak it, and then we have to act on it. Number three, Mark 9:23 says, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believes. All things are possible. Do you believe that? I mean, when you think about that, all things are possible. Whosoever say unto this mountain, be thy removed and be thy cast into the sea. Is he talking about a literal mountain, or is he talking about a mountain in your life? I suppose it could be either one, because all things are possible to him that believes. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm not to that place yet. I'm not casting mountains into the sea yet. Praise God. But who says we can't? Who says we won't? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Faith is an act. If you believe something, you will act on it. If you believe something, you'll act on it. Let me just give you an illustration. What if I told Melissa down here that I went down to the bank yesterday and I deposited $2,000 into her debit card. What is she going to do? Is she going to run down to the bank? And see, she's stealing my thunder now. She's stealing the thunder here. But is she going to go down to the bank and put that debit card in and say, I know that John put $2,000 in there? Or is she going to put that in there and say, I hope John put $2,000 in there? What does it hinge on? It hinges on whether she believes me or not. That's what it hinges on. If she believes that I'm a man of integrity, that I'm a man that do what I say I did, she's going to go down there and put that card in there and draw on that $2,000 and not even blink an eye. But if she has any doubt, well, then she'll put that card in there, but she's like waiting to see if it's going to say denied. You see what I'm saying? We have to believe what the Word says, and then we act on it. You know, way back years ago in the early days of the faith movement, a lot of people were trying to act on the Word before they believed it. They were doing all kinds of crazy things, and then it didn't come to pass. And so then you had people left the faith camp, said, oh, this faith stuff doesn't work, and this and that and the other thing. But see, people were trying to do things that they didn't believe. Amen? So you have to believe it before you can do it. I remember when I was a child, probably, I don't know, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old. That was back before television. That was back before computers. People say, boy, you must be old, but it wasn't that many years ago. Wasn't that many years ago. We lived in a little town in Iowa. They had two movie theaters. A little town, 2,500 people, had two movie theaters. Every Saturday afternoon, they had a movie at this one theater. And one theater was kind of where they showed all the newer shows. And the other theater was kind of, they showed the older movies, you know, and the old cartoons, the Three Stooges and the Little Rascals and that kind of stuff, you know, the Lone Ranger, Tom Mix, all those old movies like that. And so I was the oldest of our family, and so I had a couple of brothers that were fairly close to my age, and we always liked to go to the movie on Saturday. Saturday afternoon, they have a matinee, like a quarter to go. And so my dad, even though he was not a believer, if he told you something, he would do it. And so we'd start in on Dad about Tuesday. We'd say, hey, Dad, can we go to the movie Saturday afternoon? It's only a quarter. And when Dad said yes, we knew that we were going to the movie on Saturday afternoon. So all week we're talking to our brothers. Hey, Don, we're going to the movie Saturday. Hey, Larry, we're going to the movie Saturday. When Saturday morning came, we got up and put our best clothes on. We were cleaned up. We had our hair combed, our face washed, and we were waiting to go to the movie because Daddy said that we could go. See, it's the same thing. We have to put our trust in what God's Word says, and then we have to act on it. And see, like I said earlier, we can have doubt in our head, but we can have faith in our heart. And so we act on that faith, not on what our head is saying. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Faith has no limits. It's an act. Faith acts on our believing and on our confessing. Simple definition of faith is acting like the Bible is true. I always bring up Brother Hagin because he was such a man of integrity and such an outstanding man of God. But he told a story that I don't remember what years it was. It was in the 80s maybe or late 70s, I'm not sure, but some things had happened in the body of Christ, and there were some main TV ministers had fallen and made some mistakes, and so offerings went down to everybody. All the big ministries' offerings went way down. And I don't know if you've ever been out to Rhema. You don't run that thing on a couple of nickels a day. It's a big place. But anyhow, they all got together, the board meeting. Brother Hagin, the board meeting, they all got together, and the board members, and they're sitting there around there, and the board members said, Brother Hagin, what are we going to do? You know, we're not bringing in enough money to keep it going. What are we going to do, Brother Hagin? And he says, we're going to act like the Bible's true. We're going to act like the Bible's true. We're just going to keep on going. We're going to keep on doing what he called us to do. We're just going to act like the Bible's true. And see, that's what we have to do. We have to believe it and act on it. Regardless of what situation is going on in your life, regardless of what situation is going on in the world today, we have to act like the Bible is true. Amen? We've been so blessed. Our family, none of our children lost jobs, grandchildren, none of them lost jobs. God has blessed them and taken care of them. He's taken care of us, regardless of what it looks like. Regardless of what the stock market says, we are blessed. Amen. We are blessed. Hallelujah. It's so important, so important. We have to act like what Jesus said is true. If ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you say unto this mountain, remove hence and to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible for you. God wants us to move into new territories. I don't know about you, but sometimes I get kind of bogged down where I'm at. Anybody ever done that? You kind of learn to live with the circumstances. You kind of learn, well, I'm getting by, and, you know, we're not behind on our bills, and everything is going along pretty good. I'm just going to stay right where we're at. And see, Eileen and I, when we came back in March from South Dakota, I thought this whole thing would be over in 2 or 3 weeks. I thought this pandemic would be done in, you know, no more than a month or 2 months, you know. And, you know, after it keeps going, keeps going, keeps going, finally it's like, hey, what has God called us to do? What are we supposed to do? Just like you're here at church today. Church didn't change because of the pandemic. Jesus didn't change. Our ministry didn't change. And so we believe God. The no evil, no plague will come near our dwelling because we have a covenant with God. And I know many of you are out working in the workplace. And yes, we wear our masks and we take the precautions that they tell us to take. But many of you are out there working, and you wouldn't be out there working if you were fearful. But there are many people that are fearful, that won't leave their homes, won't go out. How long are they going to do that? Suicides are up in the United States right now, especially amongst young people, because of the pandemic. They don't know what's going to happen. They're staying home. They got all their children. That's a challenge right there for young people. They want the schools to open up so those kids go back to school. They're tired of them having around the house all the time. Yeah, it's driving some of these young mothers and fathers crazy. But praise God. Oh, we have the victory because we speak the spirit of faith. We speak the faith language. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. He supplies all of my needs according to his riches and glory. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. God is looking for people who will do his will. We found out, and you probably already know, that if we do God's will, he'll take care of us. He'll take care of us. He never has seen his seed begging for bread. That's what the word says. He takes care of us. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. God is looking for people like Caleb with that spirit of faith, a different spirit than what the world has. Amen? Let me have your water there for a minute. Oh, boy, there's about one swallow left. We're just about finished. Everybody doing good? God is looking for people with that spirit of faith. And I believe you have it here. Because I know your pastor. I know how he speaks. I know how Pastor Dana speaks. They speak faith. So hang around them. Come as much as you can. Be here all the time. Because, see, it'll help you. It'll help you overcome. It'll help you have victory in this world today. Because that's God's plan. God never planned for us to be defeated. He only planned for us to be victorious. His plan, his will, is for us to be overcomers. We're more than overcomers through him that loved us. Amen?
Amen.
So I just want to encourage you today. I just kind of shotgunned some things out here this morning. But the spirit of faith is relevant for today. It's not outdated. It's needed. It's the only way that will survive in this upside-down world today. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you very much. Pastor?
Thank you. Thank you. You know, he was saying something there about Joshua and Caleb and in the book of Numbers and the 12 spies. All 12 of them. God exactly, nothing more, nothing less, that God exactly what they believed and what they said.
That's right, that's right. Mm-hmm.
Joshua and Caleb got exactly what they said. Mm-hmm. The other 10 got exactly what they said.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, you know, Brother John, you know, we were sharing things last night, but this is so important right now because that's why we've been doing some things about establishing our heart. Because out of your heart, Jesus said, out of your heart, out of my heart, proceeds. Proceeds what? He said, you can have good treasure or bad treasure or evil treasure in it. Either one. Evil can be just carnal, natural stuff. But it's coming out. You know, I like to play golf. And there was a particular golfer that they was commenting about. I'm not going to call his name, but I mean, he's won major championships before, but he had changed his swing. He began to reprogram his swing. And he had never won a U.S. Open, and he was in the U.S. Open, and he had the lead, and he came to the 18th tee on Sunday. And even though he tried to change his swing, He'd done it for a little bit, for a little while. He'd been doing this, but what happened was when the pressure was on at the end, he reverted back to his old swing that he was having trouble with because of the pressure. He wanted to win that. It's the only one he hadn't won, and he wanted to win it so bad, he reverted back the swing, and he pushed the ball left, went out of bounds. Cost him the championship. Well, it's heartbreaking, but there's lessons to be learned in that. See, the Word of God affects our hearts. That's why we was talking about this last night. What you're going to say, what you're going to call upon is what you believe. But what you believe is what you hear. What you're listening to, what you're feeding on. That's why Jesus said, take heed Not only what you hear, how you hear, what you hear. Take heed. Does he love us? I'll say this, and we'll pray here in just a moment. I'm reminded the Lord brought back the woman with issue of blood. Sitting there, Brother John listening, and he brought back that story. The Bible tells us in the 28th verse of Mark chapter 5, for she said, what it didn't say that she just thought. It said, for she said, if I can touch his clothes, I will be made whole. Verse 34, Jesus turned to her and said, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Thy faith has healed thee and made thee whole. Go in peace. So if you take those two scriptures right there and put them together, for she said, if I touch him, I will be healed. He said, daughter, he didn't say my faith, my power. He said, your faith. So what she said was her faith speaking. What she said was faith speaking. And she got exactly what she said. We have to remember the words of the Master. John, you referred to, I was thinking, right before you said Mark 9:23, I was thinking about Mark 9:23. Because we can never turn loose of what the Master said. If I can. You're asking me if I can? Lord, if you can, you can make him, you can heal my son. The Lord's like, if I can, believe. All things are possible. Everything is possible. We can never turn loose of that scripture. Never. With God, what did the Lord speak to Mary? With God, most things. Guys, as believers, as Brother John was talking about, it's just another way I'd say the bottom line. We can never turn loose of those scriptures as Christians and believers. I don't care what we deal with. I don't care what happened last time. I don't care what happened a year ago, 3 years ago. We cannot turn loose of those truths. You remember Jesus through Paul? That's a good way to say it. Jesus through Paul, Christ in you, the hope of glory. He wrote a letter to Timothy and he said, Timmy, son, he called him his son, Timmy, fight the good fight of faith. And what's the next word out of his mouth? Lay hold on eternal life. You have to lay hold on something. Because there's a thief. You know what a thief tries to do? He tries to steal. In other words, he wants to take it from you. I'm telling you right now, I'll go ahead and believe and confess something. He's not taking Mark 9:23 from me. He's not going to take the realities and the possibilities that all things are possible with God. And if I can get with the Lord and trust him and how his spirit and his word to affect me and my life, yes, it can happen. How many things we can do through him? I can do how many things through Christ? I think we say these things, but it's the truth, guys. And what this is of, all of this, is not just the initial experience of the new birth. It's after we're born again as well. Paul said the way you receive Jesus in Colossians chapter 2, the way you received him, you're going to have to walk that way going forward. I mean, that's a paraphrase, but it's basically what he said. As you have therefore received the Lord, walk you in him. It's a life. Yeah, the just shall live by faith. You live by faith, knowing that it's through faith in Jesus that you're justified and made righteous. But It's also through Jesus for everything else we need. It's faith. That's why we walk by faith. We live by faith. Listen, Jesus did life by faith. You know, he went to the cross by faith. He died by faith. He was raised by faith. Listen, all of it was faith. And he's given us the measure of faith according to his grace. Amen. If you're watching online, we're talking about faith. Brother John ministered faith. This thing begins with faith, faith in him. I'm not talking about demon faith. What do you mean, Brother Roger, demon faith? The Bible says that the demons believe and tremble, but they're not saved. They're not born again. They're not delivered, and they're not going to be. They believe that Jesus was a person. That's not the kind of faith I'm talking about. If you're watching right now, or even if you're here, I'm talking about a faith that's of the heart, that believes that he is the Savior of the world. He is the Son of the living God. He came to save us. Salvation, that's what his name means. Will you believe on his name? The Bible says the commandment we have is to believe on the name of his Son and to love each other. Will you receive? Let's pray. Because you may be watching at a later date, you may be watching now. Whosoever shall believe, whosoever shall confess, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Say this. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I call upon that name, the name of Jesus. Jesus, come into my heart. I receive you now. I receive you as my Savior. Thank you for saving me, rescuing me. I believe you died for me, and that God raised you up for me. And I receive you as my Savior and Lord, and I receive your help in my life. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't know if you're here. I don't know if you're watching. But the Holy Spirit just brought something back to me. You remember at the beginning of the service, I made reference back when we was worshiping. And I said something about things have been spoken and said that even if when people come in and they just come into the building, that they'll be ministered to physically, even and even some people even change without anybody praying for them or anything. The Holy Ghost, I wasn't even thinking of it, but he brought that back and he said, that's happened today. It's either happened in here or happening where you'll know the difference when you leave. You'll it's almost like as you go, you'll go, my, that's gone. You know, I had that happen to me some years back. All I know is there was a demon in my foot. It's a better way to explain it. I didn't have an evil spirit in my foot, but it felt like one. I don't know what happened. I never injured my foot that I remember. I didn't twist, fall, step on something, do anything. All I know is in the bottom of my foot, it was like you were sticking a knife in the bottom of my foot. And I would get up, and my wife could testify this. This happened for a year and a half. Even when I'd come here and minister every Sunday or Wednesday, I'd get up in the mornings, and this is no exaggeration. And then I'd move a little more. And I'd get a little easier. I'd get a little easier. Then I'd come in here. I'd be walking like this. And every time I take a step, it'd be hurting. Every day I'd get up, it'd be hurting. I'm thinking, I'm either going to have to just lay in the bed and not put any pressure on it. Or, you know, I got to walk. So I can't get relief if I'm putting pressure on it because, I'm mashing on it. You know, especially after I eat that blueberry ice cream last night, you know, and ate a half a tub of it, you know, so I got a little more extra weight on it. And then the devil brought scripture to my mind and said, you remember the guy in the Bible? He died because he had a disease in his foot. And that's true. It's in the Word of God. And he said, you've got that same thing in your foot, and I'm going to kill you. Now, guys, listen, I'm not making this up. I'm talking about that. Those thoughts came to me. There's something going on in my foot, and it's the same thing. It's the same thing that guy had in the Bible. And he died from a thing that was going on in his foot. I remember I was invited. Jim Hockaday came, ministered here. He wanted to go play golf, and we went to a course over in is Limestone Springs up towards Onion. And you know how those hills and stuff, and it was a cart path only the day we went because it had been some rain, and we couldn't drive the carts out on the fairways. We had to keep them on the cart paths and then walk. And those hills and mounds, and you're trying to play golf, and every time you twist your foot, and I never said anything. And I rebuked and cursed. Well, I didn't cuss it. I mean, you know, but I mean, I cursed it in the name of Jesus. I did everything I knew to do. I did everything more than once. One day I said, all right, listen, I don't care if you fall off. And I felt like a pastor friend of mine, he said he had a deal in his foot one time, a leg. He said he had to stick it out of the window because he couldn't stand to be in the same room with it. He opened up the window, literally stuck his foot out of his bedroom window because he said he could not stand to be in the same room with it. And his wife come in there, looked at him and said, what in the world are you doing? But you know what? I come to a place in my heart, and I said, I've spoken to you. I'm done. This is it. And then at point in time, here's the deal. Sometimes we wait. Now, I'm not just keeping you here for time's sake or watching. I feel inspired to say this. Sometimes we wait on things to leave. But sometimes you need to go ahead and leave it. You're waiting on it to get better and leave. Why don't you just go ahead and leave it on the inside? And that's what happened to me that day. I left it. And when I left it, the pain was still there. Next morning, I'd walk until, and I'd just keep working with it for a few minutes and stuff and walk, and then finally I could get some ease. Now, the pain didn't go away, but I could get where it wasn't, so just feel like it was balled up in there, and I could get where I could walk on it and bend, but it still hurt. But how can I say it? The body of me, it didn't bother me no more. I'm not saying I enjoy pain, but the frustration and the bother and the pain of the pain and stuff, something happened in me. And all of a sudden, I woke up. I don't remember when it left. I do not remember when it left. It just left. And I've taken the last 10 minutes or so to say all that to say this. That's what happened today. And here's something left. Or something. You'll just look back on it and go, you know what? It's connected to what Pastor Roger was saying, but I don't know when it did or what, but it's no more. All I know, it's no more. That's all I know. It's like the blind man that Jesus healed. They tried to get him to say. He said, all I know, it is I was blind, now I see. You know, who sinned, this man or his parents? Who healed you? He said, all I know is it's gone. And that's what I'm saying to you. You'll recognize and know that it left and it's gone. Hallelujah. Mm-mm-mm. Is that possible? No, everything's possible, but something like that ain't happening. No. How many things are possible? All things are possible. Hold fast. Don't let the devil. What is that towel you got on your on our stove, Dana? That's hanging on the stove, something about chocolate. You said something about I would give up chocolate, but I'm not a quitter, or something like that. She's got, that's what it says on that thing. She said, I'd give up, quit chocolate. Or I would give up eating chocolate, but I'm not a quitter. And I think a lot of women would say, amen. Some guys too. Well, the same spirit that was in him that went all the way to that cross that day, can you imagine just in the physical, not just the spiritual realm, but in the physical realm, how he felt? After his inwards part were exposed, he was beaten to such a, and then they laid a cross on him, and even though he had a little help there, can you imagine? But you know, the same spirit, according to Romans 8:11, that was in him, that's in him, is in you and me. So guess who's going all the way? Guess who's going to finish their race and run their course? Guess who's going to hold fast to the possibilities that's in God when sometimes in the natural it says it's not possible? You are. You are. You are. I am. In Jesus' name. Stand to your feet. Amen. Lord, thank you for this time we've had here today. Thank you. Thank you so much for the words that were ministered and spoken. And thank you, Lord, that we didn't come here just to hear a man. We came here to hear from you. And we look to you as we go forward, that your spirit that lives in us will take the things that were ministered today, even things that were imparted, and will expound, and they'll continue in us as we go. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great week, everybody. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you back here Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. You're dismissed.